Amen. Thank you, Davis. Let me also encourage you to come tonight for our children's program. I think you'll be blessed by that, as Robert mentioned, and I believe you'll get a sense of hope that the children can give us and what God's doing here at Trinity. So hope you can come tonight, whether you have a child in the program or a grandchild or not. Let me ask the Lord to bless our time in His Word. Let's pray together. Living God, we thank You for Your Word. Your Word is true, inspired through the pens of the prophets and the apostles, by the powerful work of Your Spirit. And Lord, we ask that Your same Holy Spirit who inspired the Scripture would illumine our minds to understand, that we might grow. And that is our prayer to the glory of Jesus and in His name. Amen. On May the 15th, 1940, Maurice, 31, and Richard, 37, opened their first restaurant in San Bernardino, California, giving rise to what would become the world's most one of the world's most prominent fast food chains. It was the first McDonald's restaurant open that day. The McDonald brothers saw their father struggling some financially as they were growing up, and they set a goal for themselves to have $1 million before they turned the age of 50. Well, they certainly got that. They never dreamed of the journey of such a small beginning, the journey that they were about to embark on. And as the business grew, it would require from them investments, changes to the business model, new concepts, ups and downs, doubts and fears and hopes, and effort. The McDonald brothers would not only be a business success, but a phenomenon, even surprising themselves, outpacing by a long shot their original goal. Our journey with Christ, in a similar way, begins small. Not, of course, with any financial gain in mind, but a journey of faith and grace and growth. And what does it require? Well, it requires investments along the way. It requires changes, new concepts, doubts, and fears come, hopes, and effort, as Peter reminded us in his letter. And of course, the power of the Holy Spirit. This is the expansion of the franchise of the soul. That is to say, the growing of the heart. Now, remember, a couple weeks ago, we talked about how Jesus did a finishing work on the cross. Actually, when He was on the cross, just before He died, He said, "It is finished." What He was saying with those words was this: His earthly ministry, now complete, the work of redemption in His death, finished and accomplished. The atonement had been paid. Salvation complete. Once and for all, accomplished redemption, it is finished. No further redemptive work is necessary. He did it all. He did it all. Jesus paid it all. All to Him we owe. And then it's by faith we receive this gift, this gracious gift of salvation. But we also talked about how Christ continues a work, His present and ongoing work in the world today. He has an ongoing heavenly ministry. His earthly ministry ended. It is finished. His heavenly ministry continues. We get a hint of this in Acts chapter 1. Look at this. This is the writing of Luke. And Luke writes his very, very first verses in the first book, O Theophilus. That's the individual man he was writing to. I have dealt with all that Jesus, and here's the clue, began to do and teach until the day He was taken up, His ascension. So Jesus began to do and teach. He said, I've written that to you in the gospel. But now, in these acts of the church, of the Holy Spirit in the church, I'm going to tell you about what He continues to do and to teach. Jesus' earthly work of redemption complete, His heavenly work begins. He ascended on high. If you read the rest of Acts chapter 1, Jesus ascends, and from the right hand of the Father, He continues His gracious activity in this world. He continues to teach and to bless and to save and to strengthen. And the key to understanding Christ's heavenly ministry and ongoing ministry is the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit continues this ministry of Jesus in the world. And He helps us. The Holy Spirit helps us to enter in more fully into what God has said and done in Christ. Now, Christ continues His work in the world, but what I want to focus on today is how Jesus has a present and ongoing work in you, in me, in our hearts, in our souls. And this is called sanctification. Now, that's a big word, but it simply means to grow. This growing work of God in Christ by the Spirit. Christian growth. This is what Jesus does by the Spirit. Now, let's go back to our passage in 2 Peter 3, verses 17 and 18. These are the last words of the Apostle Peter. And he wrote this. You already know these things, so be on guard. Then you will not be carried away by the errors of these wicked people and lose your own secure footing. Rather, you must grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's his last word to the church. You must grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ. This atmosphere of growth is one of grace. And the fruit of this growth is to know Jesus Christ more and more. Now, when we think of growth, we often think of numbers, say a church growing numerically, and of course, there's nothing wrong with that, but what is Peter talking about here? He's talking about growing in depth in the inner person. Now, notice he says, you already know these things. Now, what things did they already know? Well, Peter is writing in the context of, and he's speaking of, the second coming of Jesus. And he's asking this question, how are we to live in anticipation of Christ's return? What type of people ought we to be in light of Him returning in this short transitory stay that we have on earth? There's no doubt this is what he was speaking of as Davis read to us. Look at verses 10 and 11. But the day of the Lord will come as unexpectedly as a thief. That's His second coming. Then the heavens will pass away with a terrible noise, and the very elements themselves will disappear in fire, and the earth and everything on it will be found to deserve judgment. Really, he's not saying it this way, but it's kind of the heat death of the earth. As science teaches us, everything's burning up. Eventually, the universe will burn up. The elements will be on fire. But then he says this, since everything around us is going to be destroyed like this, what holy and godly lives you should live. Peter is saying, let's pause for just a moment and think about some perspective in this life in light of what's to come. And then he gets to his admonition to grow. But what type of people ought we to be? Holy and godly lives you should live in light of this great truth. And then he goes on to spell out some other things in the passage. And then these final recorded words as we go back to verses 17 and 18. He says, grow. Grow. Now, the word here in the Greek is oxano. You can hear the word augment in that, where we get our English word augment, which means to add to. It means to grow, to increase, to become greater, is what the word means. It's used in the scripture of plants growing, of children growing, of crowds swelling, and it's also used numerous times in this very book of Acts, that we read from earlier about the growing of the Word of God in communities and in the world. And of course, over and over again, it's used in this way that Peter's using it, the capacity of the soul, the heart, the spirit to grow. Now, most of us in here, the children went out, they have a lot of growing to do physically. Most of us in here, we've reached the maximum, most of us. But our soul, that is, unless you want to keep on eating and eating and eating, but our soul has the capacity to infinitely grow, to grow daily, as Peter gives the command to the church, grow daily in this grace and knowledge of Christ. And so the Bible is full of these encouragements, grow, but it's also full of warnings. And again, we find this in the context of a warning. Look again at verse 17. You see the words, be on guard. That is to watch carefully. That is to protect a person or a thing. Be on guard to protect one's own safety or the safety of a family. This word is used in Luke chapter 2. There were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. Be on guard. Keep watch. Jesus said, take care and be on guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. Paul writes to Timothy, O Timothy, guard the deposit of faith that has been entrusted to you. So this word is used numerous times in the New Testament. Why should we be concerned about growing? Because false teachers will come. Peter says it here, and distort the scripture. And people can fall prey to false teaching. Notice again in the language that Peter used, be careful not to be carried away or to lose your own stability in this world. Now, these are great dangers that we're warned of. Carried away with error, and the Bible has a long list of those, or losing one's stability. Lose your own secure footing. That word in nautical language can also be used to run aground or to suffer shipwreck. Be careful that you do not suffer shipwreck in your faith. Many people today, I don't know if you've heard the word deconstruction. We hear this a lot, a deconstructed faith. Well, that just is highlighting this very word, to make shipwreck of the faith. So be careful in these matters, says Peter. Be on guard. Be careful. Now, this is a common phrase that we use, be careful. We say that all the time. I was telling the early service that just yesterday, someone that I didn't even know, first time I'd ever met her, she said to me, be careful, as I was walking away from her, be careful. And so we do say that. But there are times when we give it extra emphasis, and that's what Peter's doing here. In the Greek, he is giving heightened interest to this word, to be careful, and an emphasis upon it. It's just like we do with our children sometime, or I know that I did with mine. I say be careful all the time to them, but there are times I say be careful. Have you ever done that? When Jonathan and his cousins are going hunting, you know what I say? I say be careful. Or I remember when Hannah was driving off to school by herself at night. Be careful. Extra emphasis. That's what Peter's saying here. We have to be careful with these matters, for we can make shipwreck of our faith. Be on guard. Let me always remind you of these qualities, he writes in chapter 1. Though you know them, it is my job to remind you that you might be established in the truth that you have and not lose your secure footing. Grow. Grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ that you may not lose your secure footing. Be careful. Be on guard. And then more positively, he states it. Grow. And there's a process of growing. He actually begins his letter that way. Notice how closely these two verses are together. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2, this is how he begins the letter. May God give you more and more grace and peace as you grow in your knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. That's the very first of the letter. And the end of the letter, he says again, you must grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And then in the middle, he gives this argument for why and speaks of how. But it's a process. It's a process. Our spiritual lives. We experience God's grace before we come to Him and to a relationship with Him. His saving grace is operational in our lives. And then after our salvation, we continue to grow And that's sanctification. That's Christian growth. That's the work of the Spirit, the continued grace of God in a process of growing. Now, I know it's baseball season, and I love baseball, but I'm going to give you a football illustration. Can I do that? Or a word from the University of Alabama head football coach Nick Saban. Do y'all mind if I quote him? He uses one word over and over again in describing his team's annual success, and this is what he said: it's all about the process. Of course, you can apply that in any sport. It's all about the process. Now, there are some reasons we don't grow, and let's look at the negative and the positive when it comes to this. There are times we don't grow because we don't have a process, or we don't have a priority, or we have not established certain habits that allow us to grow. And it's a process for growth in your life. Like, for instance, like this time of worship, I'm thankful for your presence here because it's a priority for you to be in worship today, because this is an opportunity for you to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus today as we make church a priority. Or a small group is an opportunity to grow. Or 10 minutes in the scripture or alone with God, or an opportunity to serve the church or the community in some way. These are opportunities that we have to grow our faith that God has given us. But do we have a process for that? And then I think sometimes we don't grow because we can become spiritually satisfied and somewhat lazy. Again, Coach Saban, to compete at the highest level takes a special will, because you're always fighting against yourself. It's human nature to be satisfied with what you did last year. That could be spoken of for Christians as well. It's human nature to be satisfied with what happened last year. It takes a special group, he goes on to say, with a special character to overcome that. There is no entitlement in college football. How true. And there's no entitlement in the Christian walk. It is a daily walk with Jesus. Another football coach reminds us that we should never stop growing. Todd Bowles, head football coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, he left college in 1986 to go into the NFL draft, but last week, he walked in cap and gown, graduated from Mount St. Mary University with a Bachelor of Science degree. He was also addressed the entire class and audience, 59 years old. This is what he said. "This is an amazing thing for me to be in a class with you," he says. "I'm more nervous now than I was speaking in a locker room at halftime." And he's won 3 Super Bowls. And then he said this, he closed with this: "You're never too old to stop learning." And no matter what your age is, no matter where you are at in your relationship with God, you are never too old or young or far gone or wherever that you cannot grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ. It is the encouragement of Scripture, indeed the command of Scripture, and Peter here to grow. The word here, if we were to parse this Greek word, it would be the second person plural present active imperative. What does that mean? Second person plural means you all. Peter says, basically says y'all. It is present and it is active. That is today. And it is an effort and an activity that you take on in the grace of God. And then he says it is an imperative. That is to say, it is a command. Grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ. We dare not look to our past without looking also to our present and to the future. We dare not stand on yesterday's victories and forget about today's giants. And we dare not forget that Christianity is a daily walk, a following of Jesus. The Christian life is full, what I say, the 3 M's of the marvelous, the monotonous, and the mysterious. We have marvelous moments with our Lord. Most of the Christian life is just a monotonous walk with God. That is to say, day by day. We have the mysterious. There are times in our life we don't understand why this happened or why that happened, whether it's something very bad or something very good. We don't understand. But in the marvelous, in the monotonous, and in the mysterious, we are called to grow in this life in the grace and knowledge of Christ. I personally have had times in my life when I have stopped the process, where I'd gotten spiritually satisfied. I know about that. And even today, I don't get up every morning singing hallelujah. But I do get up every morning with this thought, Lord, thank you for another day. I want to be faithful today. I want to grow today and closer to you. My soul can grow. This is the command of Scripture. Give us this day our daily bread is our prayer, and we need it. What is sanctification? It is Jesus Christ living in us by the indwelling Holy Spirit to renew and make us more and more into His likeness. That's what Christian growth is. It is Jesus Christ living in us, doing His continued work through the indwelling Holy Spirit to renew and transform us more and more into His likeness. And as you grow, you will live to please God more and more, as He said in verse 2, more and more. Eternity now holds your treasures and elevates your desires. You will live the new life with new aims and new passions. As Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. You're encouraged by new hopes. Peter is writing this and telling us to grow as he's talking about the coming of a new heaven and a new earth. We have a glorious future ahead of us through the grace of God. But grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ. And we have new possessions, rich in faith, heirs of the kingdom. And so as we come into this new world and we come into a new life, a new creation in Christ, it's a reality, but it's also a process. And we are told that the process of understanding and experiencing and expressing this new life is growing in the grace and knowledge of Christ. Cindy has some hibiscus planted just outside our front door. And she was actually amazed that they're actually growing and blooming. And I asked her, I said, well, what do you do? I mean, how did you do this? They're beautiful. Various colors on the blooms. And she said, I just water it every day, and God does the rest. This is what Peter is communicating to the church. We water our soul. We water it with these means of grace, and God does His work through the powerful work of the Spirit. Let's pray together.